Welcome to our podcast. I'm Frank Long, Editorial Director of Rehab Management and Physical Therapy Products. Patient-reported outcomes can positively transform the delivery of care and the business success of a rehabilitation practice. But the benefits of patient-reported outcomes may fall short of their full effectiveness unless they become part of a practice's culture. So how do you create a patient-reported outcomes culture? We're going to answer that question and hear from three clinic leaders about creative strategies they used to bring patient-reported outcomes to the forefront of clinical culture at their practices. We'll also hear about the improvement in operations, patient care, and bottom lines that take hold when managers and therapists embrace this culture. To start us off, we're speaking with Nikki Rasmussen, a physical therapist and clinical liaison for PHOTO. Nikki is also an expert on the subject of patient-reported outcomes for rehabilitation practices. Nikki, welcome back once again to our podcast series.
Thanks, Frank. It's great to be back with you.
Nikki, we're hoping to learn how to create a patient-reported outcomes culture. So I'd like to begin this discussion by asking you to define what is a patient-reported outcomes culture.
I'd like to talk about this actually at the practice level, because an outcomes-friendly culture that's created at the practice level is one where the practice embraces the entire breadth of what collecting and using outcomes can do for them, and they make it a priority in their practice, and they really think of it as an investment in patient care. They dedicate the time and energy to the education around using the outcomes tool, gathering the data, understanding the data, and then using that in their everyday practice management.
Why is a patient-reported outcomes culture important for rehabilitation practices?
Profession, we've always felt that we're very valuable to healthcare as a whole, and the research really shows that we are. But we do need to show to others, to the community, to our other professional colleagues, and everyone that we might encounter that we're really very valuable to what we do. So using our patient-reported outcomes is a really nice, solid vehicle for that, since caring for patients is really at the center of what we do. And having all providers united and using patient-reported outcomes to show that is extraordinarily powerful, because truly at the center of all of the outcomes that you gather is a patient. It's a person. And showing that impact that we can have on the people who come to us looking for help, well, that's just about as good as it gets.
Nikki, are there any tips you can share with us for creating a patient-reported outcomes culture?
Oh, this is such a great question. Thanks for asking this. It's really all about the why. And what I mean by that is, why are you collecting outcomes? What are you doing that for? Are you doing that for patient care? Are you doing that to show your value? Are you doing that for a regulatory reason? There could be any and all of those reasons, but the best culture are those that gather and use all of that, always focusing on the patient being at the center, but knowing that everyone knows the why and everyone is participating and embracing that why. And that's how you create that culture.
If you're wondering what the transformation into a patient-reported outcomes culture looks like, we're about to share an extraordinary example. David Gallegos, Deputy Chief Executive Officer of Physical Southwest Sports and Spine in Las Cruces, New Mexico, joins us now to take us through the steps he used to seed a cultural transformation in his own practice. David, tell us, how did you build this patient-reported outcomes culture?
We've been implementing outcomes and PHOTO for as long as I've been with the company, so a little over 11 and a half years. And initially we implemented PHOTO because it was required. We had a contract that indicated we needed to report outcomes, and they wanted us to use PHOTO, and that's kind of how it started. So initially the system to us was a little bit cumbersome and kind of penalizing and a little bit administrative and not real impactful on our clinical bottom line. But over the years, we started to see the value. I started to recognize, hey, we can utilize our outcomes to navigate insurance contracts and improve our reimbursements. And we played with that for many years at that level. And then we decided, hey, we want to take this just a little bit further and have it so that our patients, as well as our staff, are engaged in the process and look forward to seeing what their outcomes are and how we can utilize those. And so we kind of did an internal SWOT analysis of our staff. And I think, like many outpatient physical therapy clinics, most of the therapists are very engaged in athletics. They're competitive by nature. They want to see wins, you know, and they want to avoid losses. They want to see the success of their patients, and they want to celebrate those things. And so what we kind of started to look at is that it was much like a team. And me being a coach, I started to realize I could easily give them feedback, positive and negative feedback and corrective feedback. And if I did it from the coaching athletic standpoint, I think they would take it very well than if I did it from an administrative standpoint. So utilizing that kind of general philosophy, I implemented a soccer game within our company. What I mean by that is I took all of our outcome stats, all of our monthly and quarterly and even by the patient stats that Photo was giving us, and I converted those into a soccer game. So for every successful situation we had, we called that a goal. And for every partial situation that was in theory positive going forward positive, but maybe not a completely positive situation, we called that an assist or a pass. And so what I did is we created an actual board with our staff's pictures on it in a soccer style. And on the left and right hand side of that soccer board, I had their individual statistics. So I was able to give somebody, hey, this person took 3 shots on goal this week, had 2 scores and 5 assists. Great job. And they started to kind of track that process and enjoy the situation of playing a virtual game with our other clinicians and not really put the old emphasis of this being an administrative burden on the staff, and started to really say, hey, you know what? I want to win this game. I want my staff to have more passes. I think we can take the other clinic down if we pass the ball more often to, let's say, Ryan. And so the culture really started to shift, and they started to look at outcomes as a positive thing and kind of something that they would talk about on their own versus me being an administrator having to bring it to them. So converting just generally the philosophy of how I approached it to a coach and a game versus a requirement and an administrative duty was, I think, the fundamental change in what we created.
David, how have you managed to keep this culture going?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, one, I did realize it does take administrative backside work, and so I do have a part-time outcomes auditor manager that assists me in collecting the data. But on the front side, to keep it entertaining and engaging for the staff, we've implemented actual trophies for those teams that are winning by the quarter. And I do see coming forward, I'm going to switch the trophy reward to a player card. And what I'm hoping to do is create locally here in town an actual, like you would have a rookie baseball card, but a rookie soccer card. And it would have that staff member's picture on the front and their rookie stats on the back. And then they would be able to have actual player cards. And I foresee as the year goes on, and maybe even multiple years go on, we might be able to end up trading players and shifting back and forth and having kind of like a draft like you would in the NFL, and really kind of taking this up a notch or two on how much engagement I get from the staff. And really, to be honest with you, this is all driven by the fact that therapists and athletic trainers and all the groups that we work with are just competitive by nature. And so it's taken off. It's been great.
David, if you could summarize, how would you say that implementing this patient-reported outcomes culture affected your practice?
I would say that the biggest thing that this has done for our practice is allowed us to discuss with our clinicians their outcomes without them and immediately becoming defensive on what those outcomes are indicating. I think it's taken down the notch that it's an us versus them, an administration versus production type of situation, and it's a we activity. I think it's really opened the door for our staff to communicate with our patients. There have been many patients that are now involved and want to know how their staff's team is doing on the soccer game. I think it's really kind of made outcomes as a whole become a little bit more integral and integrated and comfortable to talk about throughout the company. So it's just had a great effect on our system.
David Gallegos, thank you for joining us. Now we're going to hear from clinic managers who are going to share stories that reflect the look and feel and successes that unfold for practices that embrace a patient-reported outcomes culture. Speaking now is Ryan Webb, a physical therapist and partner with Rehab Associates, an outpatient orthopedic practice that has 14 offices in the Central Virginia area. Ryan, share an example of the effects your organization has felt by creating a patient-centered outcomes culture.
So our whole company gets together each quarter, and so we can recognize those clinicians that are stellar. And we break it down. There's a shoulder award, a knee award, an ankle, a foot, an award. And one of our clinicians and partners, she decided to make it a little bit of a competition. And so not only an award, but for the top performing in the ortho all category, she made a belt, championship belt, this huge thing. It's probably a foot tall and lined with leather on the inside. And so whoever in our company gets the highest score for ortho all category gets to take that into their clinic. And so then they take pictures and share it all around to post it on Facebook and other places. So it's entertaining, and it creates a little competition in the company. And that's really just been fun. I think seeing people get into photo, because most people don't necessarily want to do the questionnaire and feel like it's a hassle. But, you know, we've been able to make it part of our culture, as you'd say, and it's really gathered momentum, I think, in our clinics and help our clinicians see why we do these things.
We've also got a great example of how creating a patient-centered outcomes culture helped breed operational insight among providers who worked for an employer-sponsored healthcare organization to eliminate paperwork and root out unnecessary administrative costs. Let's hear now from Daniel Lord, Clinical Program Director at Crossover Health, based in San Clemente, California.
There is a large tech company on the West Coast, which I'm sure everyone has heard of, one of our most important clients, and their benefits team wanted to, or did, implement a third party that was hoping to do prior authorization for musculoskeletal. So for any PT visits that were coming into our clinics that they wanted to prior authorize, whether they were medically necessary. And they were doing this for their whole population, but for us, it's kind of a downer, because we've developed our whole platform in a value-based manner or a population health manner already. So this is just bureaucracy and paperwork that is unneeded from our point of view. And so this is where photo comes in. This is why it's so valuable. We kind of went back and forth, and we discussed how we use photo and how that is our monitoring tool, or that's how we can measure clinical effectiveness. And so they were like, all right, let's do a 6-month trial. And on one arm, we'll do photo. And the other arm, you guys will follow this TPA thing. And we went through, I think it ended up being about 8 months. And here's the funny thing. Because we were using photo, and because we had a certain practice dial, and because we already had these standards in place on how we practice through the use of data, we didn't have one prior authorization that went through that declined our treatment. Not even one or two, zero, zero. And so I went back and said, so what is the purpose of this TPA if they literally gave us paperwork, but they didn't change any part of our care plans? And so they allowed us not to use it. They made it outside of our scope in anybody coming into our clinic, because we were using photo and we can report out on our data. We were saved from having to deal with the third party, which I think is huge, and it allows us to practice the way we want to and treat patients the way we want to, and decrease the burden that is put on staff and extra administrative costs that are rampant in physical therapy. So photo allows us to beat them.
Thank you for joining us for this special podcast about creating a patient-reported outcomes culture, sponsored by Photo. Be sure to visit photoinc.com/podcast to learn more.